Well, hello out there. Once again, Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, where when I take the microphone, you're guaranteed to giggle, learn a few things, possibly utter a four-letter word at your listening device, but most importantly, find that it is time well spent. We bring to you our official presidentologist, connoisseur of American history and political commentator, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman from Florida, although he's a native of the northeastern part of the great United States of America. L stands for lots of great radio. Some people might think it stands for liberal, but we'll hold off comment on that. So, Ron, how are you on this fine day?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, acceptable and slightly irrespectable. There's so much to talk about, Ron. Recently, Scott Spears had a birthday.
I said birthday wishes. Yes.
Yes. Rumor has it it was number 42. Good number. 6 times 7. So onward and upward with the interviewer to the stars, and we celebrate the 6th anniversary, Ron, that you've been on the air on The Talking Place, February 22nd of 2017. 6 years, boy, it's flown by, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. 6 years have gone by since Scott.
Right. I mean, you were on with Scott, then with me, and with Glenn, and
yes.
So much political ramblings, rumblings, tumblings, and jumblings. Now,
yes, and when you think about it, for 6 years, occasionally not every week, and not more recently every other week, but it has to be between 250 and 300 times I've been on there by now.
Yeah, I've lost count.
Higher
than
I haven't added it up.
Higher than I can probably count at this point. Now, I told you through a message, Ron, that your previous microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, Glenn Coble, I call him Glenn Corn on the Cob, L.E., because that's kind of fun. He's running for mayor of Marion. He's a Democrat.
Yes.
And what do you think? Now, you understand Marion is pretty Republican.
Well, it's the home of Warren G. Harding, of course, President Harding, you know. And by the way, talking about that, in August, it will be 100 years since Harding passed away in office and Calvin Coolidge became president, August 2nd. You know, I'm just pointing out, it's about 6 months from now. But, you know, this is the big year that Harding dies after 2.5 years. It's a Republican town. Has there ever been a Democratic mayor of Marion?
Well, the current mayor is a Democrat. Now, he's a middle-of-the-road Democrat. Honestly, you wouldn't even know, because it's not obvious where his political leanings are. Well to the left of Scott Schertzer, the current mayor. He is hanging up his gavel, or whatever you would hang up if you leave the mayoralship. I think it's at least 12 or 16 years. Glenn's opponent in the mayoral election at this point is Bill Collins, the previous police chief of Marion, Republican, of course, although he seems pretty much a moderate Republican, and he's currently the chief deputy for the Marion County Sheriff.
I see.
He's in his 50s,
so
I believe.
So has Scott Schertzer endorsed Glenn, or he hasn't?
I'm sorry?
Has he endorsed Glenn?
My understanding is Scott Schertzer has endorsed Glenn, and Mary Ellen Withrow, I think, is definitely enthusiastic about his candidacy. But he's running against.
Well, that should help. If he was mayor as a Democrat and he endorses Glenn, that should be a positive, I would think.
Right, but you have a person in law enforcement who's rather well known and popular, still working in law enforcement, about 20 years younger, plus or minus, than Glenn.
Well, I think the age issue, that's an issue I even have about people in Congress. Like Barbara Lee in California, who's a great congresswoman, is running, but she'd be 77 and a half when she took the oath. And we're getting Dianne Feinstein to leave at 91 in 2 years. And I don't think somebody at 77 should be running to be a senator for 6 years. You want to run for the House every 2 years, fine. But to me, I think she'd be the oldest modern senator if she got in at 77 and a half back in 2025. So it's a problem in my mind.
Yeah. So
as far as locally, it's not as big a deal to be a mayor of a small town. But I suppose age is not a plus, you know.
It would certainly be an upset if Glenn does win. I mean, I said Glenn's a great guy. He does love his country. He loves the area. but I do think he's too far to the left. The age, I don't really care, because Glenn to me seems young for his age. He's very spry.
Yes.
You wouldn't think of him as being that old. I don't know much about Bill Collins, but you know, I certainly am a supporter of law enforcement. He was a good police chief and got a very good police chief in currently Jay McDonald. So it'll an interesting field of candidates, and I think it's a rare case, Ron, where I wouldn't mind either when winning. Even though Glenn is way to the left for my liking, I don't think he would govern that way, and he's a likable guy.
Well, as an outsider, I will endorse him.
So
you can let him know that.
I don't think I would be upset if either candidate won, and obviously one of them will, unless there's a write-in. That would be contrast, it seems like, to every presidential election, at least the last one, where I voted for the candidate I was nauseated by the least, and because I was nauseated by both of them, and basically still am. But you have to pick one. You got to pick A or B. So that's what I did. But I think in this case, we have the governor race also. That was also a case of who nauseated me the least. In fact, that was probably worse than the presidential election. But you know, again, this Marion field of mayors, Ron, I see good in both candidates. And again, I don't see Glenn's rather left-leaning policies to be an issue, because I don't think that they're going to come into play. Because
How long is the term? Is it a four-year term or a two-year term?
Four, I do believe.
Oh, wow.
Marion's looking to become a charter city, which in Ohio would mean it can make some of its own provisions, own governing methods. Right now it's subject to the way the state says that a city has to govern. That's been an issue in city council. I think it will eventually pass, but for now we are subject to the standard methods of governing governed by the state of Ohio.
Yeah, what is the population approximately? Do you know?
Marion City, 36,000.
36. And how many people voted in the last election? I'm sure not all of them voted.
That I don't know, but I'm sure it's much less than we'd like it to be.
Half of them.
Yeah, I'm sure it's much less than we'd like it to be. Local politics are important. You know, again, Marion, historical. And as I say, people often say negative things about Marion, but anybody who does has not been there or doesn't understand it, because there's a lot going on in Marion. And low cost of living with plenty of things to do and close to many other cities which are larger and more expensive. So a lot going on in Marion, and I'm really proud to be part of this community. And whichever mayoral candidate wins, I wish him the best, and I think he will do a great job.
Yeah, so. I was going to say that when you think about it, it's going to be a very close election in votes. It could be a margin of 10 votes off 100 votes. So few people, it could be very close.
Yeah, Kai Mead won his election fairly recently for city council by one vote. That happens.
Oh, my gosh.
We'd like to see people have more interest in their elected officials. Hopefully they will.
When Scott Schertzer won, did he win by a big margin as far as total votes?
I believe, yes. I'd have to look at specific statistics.
Well,
but
he's well-known.
You know, he's been very popular. Again, he's a very moderate Democrat. You really wouldn't even know what party he's with unless you took a look at the D or the R or an R next to his name. But I get it. Except for a really big city, Columbus being a good example, I don't think that the party, in most cases, of the mayor really makes a difference. We should all be on the same team helping to make the city great and fix any problems. And I think either candidate will do a good job at that. So again, I'm just glad there are two candidates, Ron, that I have a positive opinion about. And we shall see. If Glenn wins, it'll be an upset. And I think he can do many things to make the city great. And again, it's just interesting from a philosophical standpoint, how would his actual politics, which are far to the left, as you know, influence how he runs the city? And I don't think that they will, as we can agree. I think we need to realize that the mayor is a nonpartisan job. You are the number one top cheerleader for the city. Make the city great, and don't ever stop and rest at your laurels. That's something we all need to do, and you and I can certainly agree on that one. Adam Hero.
By the way, I see Scott Schertzer is running for the state treasurer position.
Yeah, he did, but he lost. Yeah, he lost.
And
I voted for him. I think we obviously.
No, it says announced his run for Ohio treasurer February. Oh, it's 2022. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, okay, it's okay. It's tricky. You know, time flies, and I voted for him. Certainly, we have a great legacy of treasurers from Marion. So I think nothing else. Scott would have been a, good choice. I mean, he wasn't expected to win. He didn't. I voted for him. But I don't think his future in politics is over. He's in his 50s. I mean, still fairly...
He looks good. Yeah, he looks like a really nice person, too. I'm looking at his photographs. Yeah.
Scott's one of the few people in, you know, in the Marion dignitary list that I've not met. I've met twice Jack Kellogg, the previous mayor of Marion, a Republican, but he's a fairly moderate Republican. He was mayor for 16 years. Mary Ellen Withrow, of course, the police chief, the sheriff... I've met all those people, not met the prosecutor, but, you know, indirectly I've spoken with him. But anytime I thought I had a chance to meet Mayor Schertzer, it never happened, but maybe I will at some point.
Yeah, but if he was mayor that long, it sounds like there was no corruption. He ran a very good government.
He, to me, does seem like he's a good man. Again, he does care about the city and doesn't let his own politics get in the way. But again, he seems awfully moderate. And you have to do that in Marion, as it's Republican leaning. But I don't even see that as being relevant in a city that size. You need to make your city great. Don't rest on your laurels and make it greater every day. And a mayor
I'm sure that Sir Glenn will be moderate in his approach.
That can help him. Again, Glenn's a good guy. He's likable, you know, well-spoken. So there are many things about Glenn that are desirable. I'm just concerned about his political leanings, that he's an atheist. That's probably not going to sit well with a lot of people here. We shall find out, but we certainly wish both candidates luck.
Wishes.
Yeah, and it'll be a fun election day. I can tell you that much.
And what day is the election?
I guess a primary. Don't hold me to this. I'm not 100% sure this is correct. There's a primary, but it's uncontested at this point because no one else has submitted the proper paperwork. But of course, there can be write-in candidates, but that's really just a rubber stamp. And then there's a main election in November.
Oh, May. Okay, May. Yeah.
Send
him my best wishes for you.
Yeah,
him,
we certainly will. But either way, we have two good candidates, and either one is fine. And maybe Glenn will pull an upset. That would certainly put some fuel in the fire, wouldn't it?
Wow, it would be wonderful, actually. Yeah.
Adam here on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with my brother in broadcasting, Dr. Ron Fineman, talking about Glenn Coble's run for mayor of Marion, Ohio. Talked about the anniversary of Ron being on the air with us. It's been 6 years, and the anniversary of Scott's exit from the womb, which has been 42 plus years, and goodness sakes, my birthday is coming up in about 3 months, but we'll address that at a later time. That's gone on, Ron, since we last talked, so we'll dive in, whether or not this is controversial or not. Why not? It's radio. We're here to have fun, and if we feel like yelling at each other, well, I guess that's okay. That's all part of being a human, isn't it? So I'll basically, Ron, just ask you about some of your opinions on some recent stuffy-wuffy that's been going on in the world, and goodness sakes, there has been quite a bit. Do remind listeners that Ron publishes a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com. You can view it online. I read it every day. Typically takes 2 to 3 minutes to read. It is an educated view from the left, as he says, but many times it's just about presidential and political history and not really any opinions. We've heard about Jimmy Carter in his last days. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, great guy. Difficult presidency, and like in many cases, his legacy will improve as time goes on. I mean, you got to love the guy. I mean,
Greatest post-presidency ever, by far. Yeah. Greatest. Passing John Quincy Adams and William Howard Taft, easily, you know.
We wish him well, and we hope his last days are comfortable. He spends them with the family that he loves so much, and continues to... leave his mark on this great country.
Yeah, I want to point out that the fact of you being, in a situation like him, like he is, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to pass away soon. You could be in hospice for years. I know somebody whose mother was in hospice for 5 years.
Oh, yeah. I would not put it past him that, you know, we're saying last days, but these last days could go on 2 to 3 years, and I hope that they do. I mean, just the fact that
he makes it to 100. He's got to go another 19 months to make it to 100, because on March 1st, it will be 5 months past his 98th birthday. So I'm hoping he can. But hopefully he knows what's going on. I hope he's not in a coma where, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. That's a horrible thing. I hope that he's still alert, you know, and mentally all right.
Even just that Jimmy Carter is still alive, I mean, that just does mean something. And that he is approaching 100. Just be cool to see a president approach 100. And, you know, Jimmy Carter, I mean, everybody has an opinion about him. He was the president as I was getting, just starting college and in my teenage years. Difficult presidency, but one of my biggest things I talk about with him is his family. Loved his brother Billy, down-to-earth country boy, but a very successful businessman. And someone else, as you and I have talked about, Ron, their mom, Lillian, said Billy was actually the smarter of the two.
I think she was drunk when she said that. I don't think she meant that.
But he has his wife, Rosalind, and, of course, his daughter, Amy.
Yeah, Dory Rosalind, I've spoke to people who think that they're so close, they're married 76 years, that she may not live much beyond them. That often happens when people are that elderly, that they go
We saw that
struggle.
With
I hope not, but.
With the Bushes, where they passed away.
Within 7 months,
Wish them the best. I mean, it is sad.
Rosalind's 95. She another 2+ years, she would pass Bess Truman in age to be the oldest first lady. She's the second oldest. She passed Lady Bird Johnson and Nancy Reagan in the last year. But I don't know whether she would survive that long beyond him.
With you, Ron. After his passing, there will be some addenda to history books regarding the presidency and the legacy of Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
And I'm curious.
And his rating, as I wrote, will go up. He's not going to go up to the top 10 or 15, but I think he will rise somewhat. Because once a president dies, like Truman, of course, Truman ends up much higher. He was rated low, and then suddenly he shot really up, you know, but he's much higher than Carter could ever be. But I think Carter will rise somewhat, yes.
Now, there have been many mentioned events since we last spoke, and let's start with one I think you can certainly provide a verbal essay about, and that would be the State of the Union Address by President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. So what was your impression of the State of the Union? And for those who didn't watch it, Ron, just provide a summary of what he said and what...
He was dynamic. He was at his best. And, of course, the Republican Party helped him without realizing it, because they were speaking up like Rick Scott of Florida about sunsetting Social Security and Medicare. So he reminded them of that and that he was not going to go along with that. And Mike Lee of Utah put on a face like, I never said that, but we have video footage that he did. And the same with Rick Scott. They both backed off. It was a bit of a rowdy, rude time by the opposition Republicans. But it really was seen by observers as the best State of the Union address in many years. And I think that started him on a roll. And when he went to Ukraine, taking a chance, going on a train for 10 hours to reach Kiev, and then going to Poland, he reminded people, not just me, others say, like of Reagan and Kennedy in Berlin. Reagan in 87 and Kennedy in 63. And some people say, like Lincoln at Gettysburg, there was still a war going on. He was in a dangerous area when he went to give the Gettysburg Address. So I think he's really, at the moment, he's on a roll, and he looks really good. And his ratings are going up in the polls, just as the Republicans are splitting and dividing as they fight over whether they're going to back Trump or they're going to pick someone else.
Oh, close to home, Ron, the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. People are talking about
it's
Biden
horrendous.
Visiting Ukraine instead of prioritizing this issue. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that is petty. You know, president cannot be everywhere at the same time. International affairs, war, and possible world wars, you know, having to deal with NATO, comes first. And besides, there had to be time for the Department of Transportation people and for the EPA to be there, and also FEMA. And these are all agencies, by the way, that Republicans talk about they want to get rid of. And so they're ironic that they're making an issue of this. He will go there eventually, and Buttigieg went there yesterday, but they needed time to assess the situation. The Republicans you have to realize, a lot of Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene are saying he shouldn't be in Ukraine and we shouldn't be backing Ukraine against Russia. So there's the Russia-loving people in the Republican Party like Trump is, and this is horrendous that we're backing a man who's causing the worst war damage since 1945. So, yes, it will get there. Everybody gets there, but, you know, it's still in the process of being worked on, but they will be done. And if it was Trump in office, don't forget, they deregulated the railroads, and that's the problem, too. So, and then he has the nerve to go there yesterday or the day before and act as if, like, he's holier than thou. But actually, his administration and every Republican administration cuts regulations and then leads to things like this. It's disgusting. And I want to bring in about Nebraska with this slaughterhouse where they're employing 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds, undocumented immigrants or these immigrants. That's against child labor laws. How could that be possible? And it's corporate malfeasance is unbelievable. We need more regulation of business, not deregulation.
Now, with respect to the Ukraine, Ron, people are saying, and I'm sure you've seen this, Russia and Ukraine have been at it for many years. We are spending valuable taxpayer money. We are possibly supporting a government that in and of itself is corrupt. We're being very generous, so we certainly have enough issues here, train derailment being one of many. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, are we being too generous with the foreign aid?
No, we're not, because if he takes over Ukraine, he will go into the NATO nations in Eastern Europe that were once Soviet Union territories. This is, to me, much like Britain in 1940-41, when the isolationists said, don't help Britain, and all that, and we did finally go into World War II. It's trying to avoid a world war, but we have to hold the Russians back because they have no entitlement to Ukraine at all, and they are committing aggression and causing mass loss of life and destruction. And to stand by and say that's all right, and to back Russia, a totalitarian country, it's just unbelievable. Now, yes, there's some corruption. There's corruption everywhere, including in the Republican Party, where we have a Speaker of the House giving over the documentation, the videos from January 6th to Tucker Carlson, who's the most corrupt person possible, and he's not out to find truth. He's a liar. And Fox News is now on trial because of their lies, which even these people knew about the January 6th insurrection and about the election. So, I mean, it's time for these people to pay the price, and they should all be going to jail, honestly. Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, they are disgraceful. They're not news people. They are propagandists for Russia. And it's time that this be understood, and Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, needs to be held accountable.
So you feel that although there obviously are imperfections related to the Ukraine and the president, Mr. Zelensky, by helping out Ukraine, we're helping out the world. It's not just this one particular country.
It's also backing NATO. If Trump was in, we would not be helping Ukraine, and NATO would be in tatters because he didn't care about NATO. He was rude to the NATO nations. We need allies. We need the NATO nations behind us.
So you feel it is our obligation as the leader of the free world.
Yes, just like with Churchill. Churchill and Zelensky have been compared, and Zelensky's a wonderful person. He really is, and he's very courageous, and the people of Ukraine have sacrificed a lot, and we can't just stand by. And if we do, that sends a message to China that they can go into Taiwan or go into other areas if threatening Japan also. And the same with North Korea. This is a message to aggressors that we're not going to stand by.
So you don't feel that providing this aid to the Ukraine is encouraging Russia to continue what they're doing, figuring the United States is going to keep throwing money at it and weaken themselves?
Well, you know, we're sending money, but in the whole scheme of the budget, it's not very much. Of course, it's money, billions, but it's not as if we're bankrupting ourselves, you know, in that sense. We are trying to protect freedom and democracy, which Donald Trump does not care about. He doesn't. If he comes back or Ron DeSantis gets in, I'm sorry to say, we're going to have fascist authoritarianism, because that's what's going on in the state of Florida now with all the things he's doing. He's out of control, and he's got to be stopped, and so does Trump. But I'm hoping and praying somebody else, a conservative that's decent and moderate, like a Larry Hogan, or even possibly the former Arkansas governor, I can't think of his name right now.
Not Huckabee.
Well, not Huckabee. Oh, my God, no. Huckabee is a monster.
Not Bill Clinton, of course. Yeah. Asa Hutchinson.
Asa Hutchinson, no. But like Huckabee, 15 years ago, when he was thinking of running in 08, I thought, he didn't seem so bad. He is a monstrous hypocrite, and he's a religious freak, the way he does things. And his daughter, a liar par excellence, ending up as governor of Arkansas. How far Arkansas has fallen since the time of Bill Clinton and Dale Bumpus and Winthrop Rockefeller. Oh, my God. And that Winthrop Rockefeller was a Republican, you know, your brother of Nelson Rockefeller. How far they have fallen. It's unbelievable what's going on in many of these states. They are just disgraceful states.
It's amazing, such a small, by population, state of Arkansas, a state most people probably couldn't even point out on the map. It was in the news, but that happens sometimes, just like Ohio, which is...
Is much more significant than
Arkansas. It's a larger state, but it's not California or Texas. We always seem to be at the forefront of who wins an election. I mean, I can understand New Hampshire or other states that are early in the primary voting process, but...
Yeah, by the way, they're changing that. The Democrats are not going to let Iowa, rural white Iowa, become the first place. It's a joke anyway with their caucuses. The caucuses are so imperfect, and they can't even figure out the vote sometimes for weeks. It's time for Iowa to be... Although the Republicans are going to Iowa, including Tim Scott. Now, he's interesting. Tim Scott, the African-American Republican senator, he is someone who's a little more interesting. He has potential in my mind, but most of these people that are running, Mike Pence doesn't want to testify when his whole life was in danger. It's just insane. He's promoting like he's being legal and all that, but he's not. And, honestly, I'm sick of his religiosity. It's out of control, and it's hypocrisy, because he's religious only when he wants to be. He ignored all the horrible things Trump did, and he justifies it. This is Christian nationalism at its worst, and it's just terrible. And Nikki Haley, I'm sorry, Nikki Haley has really bombed, I think, terribly. She looked good years ago. She's lost all credibility now.
No, she's announced her candidacy. At this point, Ron, we're expecting probably dozens of people, but Mike Pence, Nikki Haley,
about 10 people.
Donnie Baby, those are the three main candidates. And looks like you're not a fan of either of them. So with Nikki Haley, I mean, we agree she's very smart. She's easy on the eyes, but certainly she's become more controversial of late. And maybe she's not quite as moderate as we thought she was.
No, compared to what she did in 2015 about that church massacre, and she took down the Confederate flag, which was very wonderful. But once she signed up with Trump, she sold her soul. Well, that's the problem with all these people. They're unwilling to speak out against Trump, except for maybe like a Larry Hogan. But Larry Hogan, former governor of Maryland, probably can't go anywhere. But he would be, I think, an ideal conservative candidate. But I don't know if he could go anywhere. But we'll see him. Also, the governor of Virginia copying DeSantis now, Glenn Youngkin. He wants to ban African-American studies. That's ridiculous. You can't do that. They're doing it, but it's unbelievable. Are they going to decide to limit the whole curriculum and say you can't teach science about Darwin's theory of evolution next? I mean, this is mind control and interfering with libraries. It's promoting book banning and threatening teachers. Teachers should not be told what to say in the classroom. I'm not ever going to be told. And if I'm told, because it's a state university, that I can't teach what I want, then I don't have to stay. I'll leave. But, it just drives me crazy. And my colleagues are very upset as well here, because the interference with university curriculum in high schools and public schools is out of control, and it's really a sign of moving the kind of way that Hitler moved. Book banning and try to dictate who can have rights and decide others cannot have rights. You may not be, and I may not be, transgender. You should not take away the fact that there are transgender people, and they should have basic human rights, and that's what's being taken away now in the state of Florida with all this information they want. It's just out of control, and it's infuriating. It's not just upsetting, it's infuriating.
We're speaking with Dr. Ron Fineman, spewing forth his viewpoints as well as some historical information here on the Adam Lepp Program. Mid-morning coffee break, Adam the Computer Guy extravaganza et al. On the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. So much that's been going on, Ron, and people are really getting into politics and providing opinions.
Yes.
Some of this, again, pretty sensitive topics. Now, Mike Pence, early 60s, I believe, he would seem like a run-of-the-mill Midwestern conservative. So if you had to pick between the three Republicans who are the front-runners at this point, I presume you would find him to be the least of evils between Haley and Trump.
Which three are you talking about?
Well, if we had to pick like a Republican president between Mike Pence, Nikki Haley, and Donald Trump, would I be right in that
You're forgetting Ron DeSantis seems to be doing so well. Yeah. He's horrendous.
Well, I know you wouldn't pick him, so, and he hasn't officially put his hat in the ring, even though we think he probably will.
Yeah.
But Pence, Haley, and Trump have. So between the three, would Pence be the one?
Well, actually, Pence has not actually entered yet, no.
Okay, but so.
Yeah. He has not announced, but he's going to. Oh, God. You're asking me to pick, you know, which way should I commit suicide? I suppose Nikki Haley would be better than the other two, because Pence has no cojones, and you know what that is in English. Yeah. He has no cojones at all. He had to be told by Dan Quayle that he had to do his job. Can you believe that?
Yeah, well, that's...
Dan Quayle told him, you have to just count the votes, nothing else.
Okay.
Shouldn't have had to tell
wasn't
him that.
Sure. You know, in many ways, he's the typical Midwestern conservative.
He's a wimp. That's what his trouble was.
Yeah, and you need the backbone. I mean, Donald Trump certainly isn't afraid to spew forth his opinion, and I think we're kind of seeing that with Nikki Haley. She is a little younger. You know, she's very smart. Or, very intelligent.
Well, she's 51. Yeah.
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 So,
by the way, her idea that people over 75 in Congress should have to have cognitive tests, in theory, yes, but you're not going to be. There's no way to enforce that. There's no way to enforce that. It's really a provocative thing to even say, and it alienates older voters. Actually, probably hurts them.
So you're providing a list from a blog of a few days ago regarding governors who want to become the occupant of the Oval Office.
Yes.
Again, not all these people have officially declared, and it's even unclear to me. So at the time of this show, only Donald Trump and Nikki Haley have officially declared. Is that correct, or am I off on a tangent here?
As far as officially, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we know DeSantis and probably Pence and probably Hutchinson and a few others are going to declare, but who has officially declared? It's just those two. You mentioned Greg Abbott of Texas, Kristi Noem of South Dakota, Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, Brian Kemp of Georgia, Chris Sununu of New Hampshire, and Governors Larry Hogan and Asa Hutchinson. So there are people on that list, Ron, that you don't mind. Sununu and Hogan would be those two.
Those two seem the most reasonable. I wouldn't vote for them, but if either one became president, I would feel comfortable because they're not Trumpites.
Yeah, and hearing Sununu speak, he seems very likable, and I think he's
trying
to keep the extreme politics out of the way. Being old school, where there wasn't a tremendous difference between the left and the right, there certainly is now, though. I mean, the enormous difference. I'd like to see a moderate.
One thing I got to say, though, about Sununu, he made the statement about we should move beyond Trump. Hogan says the same thing. But is anybody really, and apparently not yet, willing to say that if at the end Trump is the nominee, they would not support him? They all seem to say they got to back the party. No, you have to back the country. If the party picks someone outrageous, you don't need to endorse and support the guy. You can not just think about party, think about loyalty to the nation. And I don't understand how these people, you know, even Sununu made that comment that, well, if he ends up the nominee, you know, but that should be, no, I would not support him. I maybe wouldn't support the Democrats, but I'd stay neutral. That's what should be said.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel. I don't believe in political parties.
I don't understand these candidates. Even they annoy me because of that.
Now, for the Democrats, Biden has not officially declared, as I believe, right?
No, and actually I wrote an article in which I said on History News Network, under my name, that, you know, he has had a pretty good record for 2 years, and he's accomplished more than any Democratic president since LBJ in domestic affairs, plus he's also done well on Ukraine, that I think, because of his age, he should retire. And now there's some, suddenly in political, the last few days, talk of, well, he's holding off on announcing, maybe he's, you know, it's all speculation, maybe he won't announce that he's running, but he's got to announce one way or the other, by April, because if he's not, others have to start a campaign, because the primary started in February and March. So I would say, because of his age, I would prefer that he not run, but if he runs, I will support him, but I really think there should be alternatives.
I think Williamson is the only person who's officially put her hat
in the ring.
Well, she's a nut. Sorry?
She's a nut. She's not going anywhere.
Right, but she has officially declared, right? No one else has officially declared.
Yeah, actually, I read a rumor someone else who is against vaccines and against everything else, Robert Kennedy Jr., who certainly, when everything about him on the vaccines, he's an unstable person, Robert Kennedy's son. His own family, most of them, ignore him because he's off in the deep end in so many things. Robert Kennedy Jr., you know, who's never been elected, could run with the name Robert Kennedy. So he could be a problem, but not much of a problem, but it's not settled that he's going to do it, you know. But I've read that he might announce because he just, you know, he's, I don't understand his mental state. He's got drug issues. He's had a lot of drug and alcohol issues over the years, so I don't know, but imagine if Robert Kennedy's son ran.
Well, that would be fascinating, wouldn't it, to say the least?
Yes.
Seems like we have so many candidates run on both sides where everybody seems to know they are going to run, but they haven't officially put their hat in the ring.
They have to soon, though. They really have to.
Adds to the suspense, and you've listed some likely governors or former governors who would be running for the Democratic nomination. These are all very familiar names. Gavin Newsom of California, J.B. Pritzker of Illinois, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, Jared Polis of Colorado, Jay Inslee of Washington, Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, Wes Moore of Maryland, Phil Murphy of New Jersey, and Andy Beshear of Kentucky, Roy Cooper of North Carolina. Almost sounds like I'm singing the 12 Days of Christmas. Interestingly, Ron, we don't have Mr. DeWine, and I don't think he would win. Plus, he's pushing 80, and I think he's about had it with politics. It's been a pretty rough governorship.
Well, also, Mac DeWine, he also has the issue that his connection with the railroad company involved in that disaster is not the greatest.
I think, you know, he's not stupid. He knows not to waste his time trying to be president. I think he's ready to retire. He's a part owner of a baseball team and go back to his family in southwestern Ohio and enjoy his life.
Well, but he has 4 years still as governor first.
Now, these are familiar names, and many of them are states that border Ohio. Well, once again, we don't have Ohio directly, but we have Pennsylvania and Kentucky and Michigan, three of our border states. See, of that mixture, it would seem like Polis might be the most moderate.
I don't know. He's pretty liberal, but also he's gay. So that, not that I care, but that makes him and Pete Buttigieg, quote, problems to these holier-than-thou religious Republicans and evangelicals because they're gay. So I don't know if they could get very far. Even Buttigieg, he's very charming and he's got a lot of brains, very smart, but being gay and having a husband, and so does Jared Polis, I think not for you and me or people that are tolerant, but I think it is a problem.
It just, he seems very popular in his state, and his reputation is...
Well, Colorado is not a red state, don't forget.
Yeah, but, you know, Whitmer, you know what I think about her. She is nice to look at, and I like having a female governor in a nearby state, but I just cannot stand her COVID policies. I think they should just lock her up and throw away the key. I don't think she would win. She is too liberal. I think you and I, you know, even though you and I may not agree on her, I think we can agree she is too far to the left.
Well, I don't know if she really is. Just on that issue that you don't like, she may be, in your opinion. But I think she's right in the center, but she was threatened by right-wingers who tried to kill her. So I think that she's not to be ignored just because of that one issue. She's very bright, very talented. I'm not saying she's going to be, she would get the nomination. As it is, if Biden's running, nobody serious apparently is going to challenge him. It's not like when Bush won or Ford or Carter ran, and they had challenges, they won the primaries, and then they ended up losing the election. I think the Democrats feel if they challenge him, they will not stop him, and then they will lose the election. So, but it's all speculation. The first thing is to see, is Joe Biden going to run? He's got to announce. I would prefer he not because I don't think he's done well, but I think his age being up to 86 by then scares me. He'll be here to at least 82. I think it's time for somebody, a younger generation.
And Josh Shapiro also seems to be fairly moderate.
I like him a lot.
I don't know too much about him, but I would say
I'm
it's
really
more on the
him.
Positive end. And, you know, I like having a president from this part of the country.
And also Wes Moore, the African-American governor, he's a fantastic guy. He reminds me a lot of a Barack Obama. He's different, but he's a lot like a Barack Obama. He's very inspiring if you watch him, and he has a great background. Of course, he's brand new, and so is Shapiro as governor. So it's not the time, but I can see them in future being potential presidential candidates. Not likely for next time, but maybe in 28.
And Polis is fairly young also, so he may not become our next president, but we've not heard
the
last
of a lot of young people. a lot of young 40s and early 50s people in the Democratic Party. It's very inspiring for the future.
What about Andy Beshear of Kentucky? We haven't had a president from Kentucky.
Well, he's interesting, too. Wow. I don't think he would get very far, but he's very decent, too. No, the Democratic governors, a lot of good governors, actually better than the U.S. Senate. Because, you know, there are people in the Senate who ran and didn't go anywhere in 2020, and most of them, except maybe Amy Klobuchar, I think really don't have much chance. I don't know if Cory Booker could come back. Who knows? Maybe he could. But I do, and of course, then there's still talk of Bernie Sanders. Now, whether you like him or not, come on, you're older than Biden. You're not going to run again if he doesn't run, are you? Are you out of your mind? That's crazy. And even Elizabeth Warren is mid-70s already. Not a good idea for somebody of that age to be running right now. And that's why I say Barbara Lee for California Senate, nope. I prefer Adam Schiff or Katie Porter, they're much younger, you know, for that Senate seat of Dianne Feinstein. Because, I mean, she's good, but let her stay in the House, but not 6 years. And she says only one term, but she'd be 83 when she's done. It's too late, in my opinion, to be in a job that significant. You know, I've had students say to me, well, you're around that age, you know. I said, yes, but I'm not a politician. I don't make policy. I teach a class and lecture, but that's different. It can work. But you should be having a high responsibility at such an advanced age.
Well, that certainly would be a good way to look at it. Of course, as my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left on our discussion with Dr. Ronald L. Fineman here on The Talking Place, discussing presidential candidates from the left and the right, discussing President Biden's trip to the Ukraine, support to Ukraine, pros and cons. And like any show with Adam, that is myself, a few giggles just to lighten the mood and make things fun. We do want to, again, express our wishes to Jimmy Carter and his family. It's sad. He's had a great life. You know, I'm not a fan of him as a president, but as a man, no, there's no better. The legacy that he is leaving and will leave behind is second to none. I don't think we'll ever have a president that'll have a legacy like Jimmy Carter's. And every day that he's still living is an additional piece to that.
Yes, I want to before we go mention a quote here about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter isn't a good Christian. He's a good man who practices Christianity. Joel Osteen is a bad man who practices Christianity.
That's
a very good statement.
I think Jimmy Carter embodies the very nature of being a religious, caring person.
He is a true believer in what Jesus Christ promoted. Half of these pastors and evangelicals are phonies, and they just get lots of money, and they victimize people, and they live in mansions and all that. And like Joel Osteen's horrible, so was Franklin Graham, and so all these other people. But Jimmy Carter is really a good Christian, and he even broke away from the Baptist Church to form his own group with others because of the fact that he didn't like their hateful nature. They're so hateful. So Jimmy Carter is what really a good Christian is, not what most people say. If I meet somebody who says I'm a good Christian, I'm wondering, why are you telling me this? I don't go around saying I'm a good Jew. You shouldn't have to say that, you know?
With about 2 minutes left, Ron, anything you want to leave our audience with? We only covered about 5% of the scheduled topics, but that's okay. Leave them hungry for more.
Well, just that the presidential rankings, I think, are changing a bit. Not officially, but I think that Joe Biden was number 19 in one poll, and I think he's going to rise a little bit more, 19 out of the 44, that is, because of what's happened recently. And Jimmy Carter, I think, will go up in rankings because of his whole life and now that he's on his way out. And I think Obama looks better all the time. Not perfect. Everybody's got faults, but comparing him to the people around him, George W. Bush and Donald Trump, I think definitely he does look better. And also Gerald Ford's reputation is improving. I consider the last Republican president that really I could find inspiring, and he saved the country after the tragedy and corruption of Richard Nixon. So I think Ford is moving up as well, and I love his wife, of course, Betty.
Yeah, we shall certainly see. Well, Ron, thank you again for joining us today. Be sure to follow Ron on social media. POLITHIST is his Twitter handle. We promise no mean tweets, just informative ones. And get his book from Amazon or from your local library, if the library is smart enough to carry said publication about presidential assassinations. Last but not least, be sure to read his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, daily. You might learn something, you might get aggravated, but whatever occurs, your brain cells and your funny bone will certainly thank you.
And also, I want to add historynewsnetwork.org under Ronald L. Fineman, my blog on there as well.
Thanks again, Ron. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you again, folks, for listening to Adam and Dr. Ron Fineman here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.